right, we have the karyotype of a cancer, a very highly progressed cancer, aneuploid cells. I don't know the tissue, it doesn't matter. You see at the top, you can see the normal chromosomes, but they have abnormal numbers. Like chromosome number 2 is missing up there. There's 3 copies of chromosome 3, and so on and so forth. And now you notice some of them are missing. Mm-hmm. Like chromosome 2 is missing. Some here in the middle are missing. But there's no cell can survive unless it has at least 1 copy of each chromosome. They don't have to be intact. During the progression of cancer, many of the chromosomes are broken. They're cut in half or various places, and they're stitched back together. Wow. That's that long line of chromosomes down at the bottom there. Those are called marker chromosomes. They're characteristic. And every cancer cell has a different karyotype. You see this figure on the right? No 2 cancer cells in history have that same karyotype. No 2 cancer cells, not even in the same tumor, in the same person.
Wow.
They're all different, every one. And contrast that with the normal karyotype that is identically the same in every yes. cell. In
the stability that of the mitosis under normal circumstances and the variability of the cancer cells, I think that's quite obvious here.
They're shockingly yeah. different. And the curious thing of it is that what you see on the right, the aneuploidy, all these complex chromosomes and everything, been ignored for at least 50 years in Western, mostly Western science. Certainly in the war on cancer, it's been totally ignored.
And every cancer cell has that, you're saying?
Yeah, the cancer cells.
Everyone.
Yeah, that has been ignored. The aneuploidy, the fact that no 2 are alike and everything.
Yeah.
And I attribute that to a number of things. First of all, it's the reductionist thinking.
Yeah.
That if you have, it's like engineering mechanics, or if you have a gene, you think there's a gene for this, there's a gene for that. It goes back to the reductionist thinking that goes behind the gene mutation theory of cancer. There's got to be a specific gene that starts it, another one that advances it. Then they have these tumor suppressor genes that sort of slow it down or stop it or prevent it. They think that there's a gene for every aspect, every component of cancer all the way through its progression. Mm-hmm. And they think those things can be identified. Once you do, then you have the targets, those genes and their products, the enzymes will be targets for drug development. Mm-hmm. So when they see the complexity that no 2 cancer cells are alike, even though they all have the same genes, but they don't have the same karyotypes, that they did not have a clue as to how to think about the complexity of the karyotypes in these cells. It was much easier to think about, well, let's look for this gene or that gene, because they didn't know how to contemplate or even exactly. imagine. So they wrote it off. They wrote off this complexity as a consequence of cancer. Mm-hmm. Not the cause or intrinsic mm-hmm. to cancer, but a consequence of it that was caused by these gene mutations. So that's what's been guiding virtually all cancer research in the United States to this day, still in the United States.
I think that's very important, because there's a fallacy in thinking at the very beginning of it. It's actually, as you would also say, dogmatic thinking, isn't it? Government-instituted thinking that it is the genes, and then all the rest of it goes into a cul-de-sac, goes into the wrong.
That's
region.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep working and publishing, you have to follow
right.
along.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I that's where I mentioned earlier about whether or not Peter would think it was a blessing in disguise that he lost the NIH funding, and mm-hmm. I thought it was a blessing in disguise, because it freed us up.
Yeah.
It got us out of the government funding. It got us away from all of that blinkered thinking, you know, and we were able to do what scientists are supposed to do. Doesn't mean that we're going to be right, but it means we have the freedom to pursue it.
You so
see.
True.
I happen to think now, after years and all of our results, plus many other people around the world who are doing similar work now, that it's right on the money. So that is important. If people don't get anything else from this talk, I think what we've talked about so far is crucial, especially on the road ahead, about yes. how to correct things.
Exactly.
We have, to, We have to get away from this dogmatic thinking. We have to have multiple sources of funding, and we have to diversify and instead of funneling everything down one course.
And if the gene approach is wrong, and as it looks like it from your theory, then all the future promises of mRNA targeting specific genes are false. And people must understand that this is not the road ahead to go into any kind of mRNA vaccines against cancer. I think that is one of the very important messages that you are bringing through this research.